Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is sponsored by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 30, recorded on Tuesday, October 18th, 2011, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And we've got ice cream sandwich!
Yay! Yeah, we got ice cream sandwich for everybody else.
Kinda, sorta. Oh,
we took it literally.
Audio listeners, can you hear that?
Oh, this is literal.
This is ice cream sandwich.
I don't think this is the ice cream sandwich they want us to talk about, though.
Oh, no, this is a Klondike.
And mine's melting all over the place, so I'm trying to eat this during the show. I don't know if this is going to work out. All right, so yes, we've got ice cream sandwich, we've got the Galaxy Nexus, we've got the Motorola Razr, and voice action apps, because you guys are asking, because some other phone... the iPhone 4S
came
out with Siri, and you know, we're like, wait,
whatever.
Siri? Really, whatever? You don't think it's cool?
It's been around for a while.
No, I mean, their program is actually kind of cool, but whatever. But you don't want to hear about that right now. You want to hear about the big Android announcement. Maybe you joined us for the breaking news coverage that Samsung and Google finally announced this evening as we're recording this show. You can download that show, too, as we kind of followed the...
Breaking news feed?
Yeah, in our specials feed. And we kind of broke it down play by play, kind of like a... I don't know, like a sporting event.
A live commentary, a little like, of the moment. We didn't know it was going to happen. We watched along.
We had no idea.
We knew a little bit. We had a little bit of it.
I was excited to see Andy Rubin. He was there.
He was up briefly, and he did the little photo op.
He did.
Yeah.
With the Samsung guy.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
A long and
quite the partnership, Google and Samsung, getting in bed together. Pretty hardcore.
Well, but...
HTC.
Motorola.
Motorola, yeah, true.
That's soon.
Let's do it.
Let's go to news. Should we start off by showing the really cool Android video? Android.com, go there. And also, Android also has the Twitter account, twitter.com/Android. They have just posted a really cool video that they didn't show in their presentation. I was really surprised. And you'll see how awesome it is because there's light cycle. Audio listeners, sorry about that. They're showing video from Android.com. They're showing Google Plus Hangouts with Messenger. There's some really cool light cycle.
Really emphasizing the speed aspect of the new Galaxy Nexus.
And one of the things that they didn't show off on the presentation were these live effects using the camera, using the still camera and the video camera, which you can kind of do some weird, funky.
Yeah, there was some stuff in this video that wasn't actually in the presentation.
There's panorama mode for the camera.
I'm very impressed by the videos that they put together around this launch.
Yeah, and the quick responses, so you can quickly respond to phone calls with text messages. You can also find out your data usage baked into your phone. You don't have to go to your carrier. And Android Beam, kind of like Bump. Actually, it is Bump, but they just call it Android Beam.
They showed off a little bit of this at the I.O.
Ice cream sandwich, kind of like things you've seen already.
Kind of.
That's the tagline.
I really like that video. I'm really surprised, again, that they didn't show it during the presentation. And for those of you who couldn't are not watching the video and just hearing the music, well, we're going to break down now what we saw or what they talked about for Ice Cream Sandwich.
I had to put my ice cream sandwich down. It was just too melty.
Is it too melty? I'm feeling that too.
Thankfully, I have a feeling that this ice cream sandwich will have a little bit more lasting factor than the ice cream sandwich that I just encountered.
It won't melt in your hand as quickly.
Well, there was a lot of things that they talked about. Now, first of all, let's talk about the presentation. They had this enchanting presentation. Android is enchanting. Do you guys think it's enchanting?
I think now it is. I think
now it's enchanting.
I think some of the UI. The major if break down everything with the ice cream sandwich. The major takeaway you take from it is the user interface. Mm-hmm. Is the look and feel of the whole OS and they. I think Matthias.
Well, Andy Rubin started off saying, you know, he wants the phone for users to feel good about using the phone and wants it to go beyond being smart.
Yep. I thought it was interesting that the product guy, the guy in the white suit, I forget his name, I think that was
Matthias.
He talked about how, you know, while Android has been around for a couple of years and it's been good, he was quite sincere and honest in that it's not an operating system that people love. And without
it doesn't draw people into the experience.
Exactly.
It's serviceable, but it's
right. Yeah. And a subtle way, he didn't say it, but it's living under the shadow of Apple. And this, I feel, is that their first real response to saying, okay, now we're going to make an interface that you can fall in love with. That's going to be enchanting. And their own words will make you feel awesome. Which is cool, which is what we've said for a while. Like, we thought Honeycomb was a step in that direction. It was a little more, with the animations and the interface kind of changes. They've improved on that, and I'm very impressed by it.
How much do you think their presentation changed?
I think a lot, because you could tell because their presentation didn't match the look and feel of the overall presentation.
That's what I was
like.
Thinking.
They had all these videos made of the phone and the phone dancing and the hardware. The Samsung produced that thing. And then Google comes in and different background, different look and feel. Like, I bet you they were working that on the plane on the way over. Like, they were that was probably.
You think
the last
they were
minute.
Tweaking it up until the very end?
Yeah, totally.
I wonder how hard they were prior. In terms of their presentation, and I mean, just at Google I/O, they had some, you know, smack talk, and they had, you know, the Android eating the Apple and stuff like that. And that's what I mean about how much do you think they tempered it?
But I think that's the right arena for that. Because I think at Google I/O, which is primarily a developer conference, yes, there's news and announcements coming out of it, but that's speaking to the people making Android apps. You want the Android guy eating the Apple and get a little more aggressive. But for this, where this is basically a product launch, I think it makes sense to not mention Apple, to focus on the product, to focus on the good points of it, and give a classier kind of approach, which I thought that presentation was very classy. They introduced a new typeface for Android phones called Roboto.
They actually kind of kicked off the announcement.
Ice cream sandwich with that.
Which seemed a little strange at first, but...
But then they explained the whole presentation was done in Roboto, which is kind of cool. And then as you see Roboto used in the OS, you start to understand why they did that and give it a unique look.
Well, and it's the whole emphasis on design, which is what Apple is, that's their strong suit, design and making it look sexy, making it look, you know, really great for the consumer. And I think this is Android's way of saying, look, ours is just as pretty, or we're making it pretty.
Right.
We're changing, and they made subtle changes to many, many things, just talking about,
They wanted to be a cohesive kind of platform-wide change. They had to change everything.
And subtle even as far as the wallpaper. You know, he pointed out that was one of the first features. Now, one of the things that we all like is the fact that there's actually going to be screen grabs with Ice Cream Sandwich. My phone actually does that. I think, does your phone do it? No. Your old phone, your Thunderbolt, did it do that?
The Thunderbolt, I don't believe, had built into the
Some of the HTC
Sense.
Phones do
I
that now.
I didn't discover it.
New keyboards with new cut and paste. And the face unlock, which unfortunately they had a little demo fail and they're getting a little heat for that because that was sort of a really big, you know, ooh, check this out, kind of ooh, aw factor, and then it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were talking about this a little bit in the live coverage, but when it comes to something like using your face to unlock your phone, I mean, that's a feature that has to work the very first time you ever see it because it's something that's new. I mean, it's not like this is the first time this has ever been done. Like you were saying earlier, Xbox, it works on the Xbox, fine. But, you know, if you're using this as like a big selling point for people to kind of come over to Android or to kind of appease people and say, hey, look, we're still innovating with this. We're doing new, cool, exciting things, for it to fail the very first time you use it on something like that. I mean, unlocking your phone is something that has to work right and quick every single time. It's just really unfortunate timing for that.
But the thing is that it's, you know, Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will, and that sort of thing. And, and given the lights and the makeup and all that. And they laughed,
That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah. They said, oh,
Too much makeup.
But I can't imagine if they were, they had it in the demo, it's got to be fairly solid. And they show it in the video, which we just saw. There was the facial recognition, which is interesting. I mean, we were talking during the live coverage whether or not we'd use that or not. I don't know. I got to see.
And you're like, is it really just going to be easy like that, Ron? Or is it going to be like,
how forgiving is it? Yeah. If you're sitting there for five, you know, even five seconds trying to get the right thing just to unlock your phone. I'm sorry, but that's enough for me to not use it.
I mean, but the thing is, knowing how they do with Android, right now there's, you know, there's a way to unlock your phone with numbers, with the dot pattern, no one version, so you don't have to use it.
Absolutely not.
But if you use it and it's slick, it's the kind of thing that you can show somebody, like, check this out.
Well, and bottom works, line, for know. Security, I mean, if, so, you know, the phone that I lost... That person wouldn't have been able to unlock it, right?
Now, I wonder if you have, like, one of those cardboard masks.
Dude, I'm right there with
right?
you.
Oh,
no,
really?
You and me, like, Jason, same page.
I wonder if you had a picture, a really big picture of the person.
But they wouldn't know necessarily whose phone that was, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or can you hold it up to a screen with a photo of someone? Like,
it shouldn't work.
It probably doesn't. It's probably, I would assume it's using similar technology as what the Xbox, from what I understand, the way the Xbox technology works with the dots on the face and all that sort of thing, where it maps, you know, what your facial structure looks like as opposed to just matching a photo or something like that.
Yeah.
I can only assume. Again, it's one of those things, like, I've got to see it, I got to play with it.
Exactly.
But the stuff I'm most excited about, which I thought was great, was all the updates to the focus on people.
The core apps. These are the core apps that they went to.
Exactly. The core applications. So we see finally some great improvements on the browser, which, if you ask me, the syncing of bookmarks
to Chrome.
Long overdue.
Awesome. Awesome.
Saving offline, what does that do to, you know, my little read it later?
Yeah, it keeps offline viewing up to 30 days, was it?
That was for Gmail.
So Gmail, they've got offline search, which is great because if you're somewhere and you can't get online, you need to get an email and you can't get that email because so it's storing 30 days back of your Gmail.
Yeah.
And you can search from it completely offline, which is awesome if you're on a plane or in some sort of scenario where you can't get online. That's really, really cool. But then beyond that, beyond just the browser, like I said, the focus on people and the upgrades to contacts and the phone and Google Voice integration, like tight Google Voice integration. So if somebody calls you and you miss the call, not only do you see the – you can tell I'm tired because my Long Island accent's gone and I just got back from New York. So if you miss the call, you see a photo of the person who called you. And then also if they left you a voicemail, you can press play and you can hear it. I mean, that's how it works. It's great. No, but see Google Voice get integrated with it. So anybody who's paying extra for visual voicemail through any of their carriers, if you use Google Voice, now it's completely integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Tying into the social stream, although if you noticed in the examples, they showed how your various contacts, you can link up and say, you know, I know them on Twitter, I know them on Google Plus, I know them on LinkedIn. No Facebook, which is interesting. I'm curious if they just didn't show that in the demos or if you can still link up contacts to their Facebook accounts. You can get kind of like a social stream of your contacts, which I'm not sure I'd use or not.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, but it was, I liked the way it looked.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying it was very Windows-looking, you know, with the squares.
Well, that's like, too, the interface was very, very Windows Metro-y kind of.
There was a lot of kind of tile-esque action going on there that's very, very Windows-like. But, you know, getting your social stream through your contacts list isn't necessarily that big a deal. Like isn't something that I would necessarily... I wouldn't go into a contact to check their status update or something. But being able to kind of tie those social networks to a contact or to all of your contacts is something that I've really enjoyed out of Sense. And so they're kind of taking a little bit of that social integration and bringing it in, and I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate conclusion here is that you're seeing a lot of stuff that's very similar to what's been out there from other applications and from other developers. And Google's taken a little bit of the best and worked it into the OS. As far as the people go and sharing stuff, you get an email from somebody who's in your contacts. You see their photo. You tap on it. And
their
then you
picture
get all,
comes up.
You get a picture, but you also get all the other various ways you can connect with them. Mm-hmm. So how many times you get an email from someone? We're at a conference, and I get an email from you. I hit your face, and I can text you straight from there. I can DM you from Twitter straight from there. Mm-hmm. It's really – kind of almost tearing down the walls of the various different ways we can communicate through the different services. Because how many different ways can you get in touch with me? there's 90 ways to get in touch with me. And so there's a different context for each one. Sometimes an email, sometimes a call, sometimes a text message. So,
And that's all the people area. Now let's go back actually up to the UI itself is very, it looks, here's the unification 4.0. It looks very honeycomb-like. The widgets, if you have used a honeycomb tablet, looks the same. The multitasking kind of looks the same. You don't really like the multitasking on Honeycomb,
right? I'm not a big fan of the multitasking. Just because I think the what they're doing with the task switching is that now you get this stream of thumbnails of the applications that you're using. And I don't need, and in the example, they showed the calculator was one of them. They showed the screen of the calculator.
I don't want to see that.
I don't need to see the buttons of the calculator. Just show me the icon. I prefer a much more streamlined task switching kind of environment. I'll be curious to see if there's settings around that, if you can choose what version, what kind of mode it is. You can see here on the screen. Yeah.
Very similar to what you get in Honeycomb.
Similar.
It looks like bother me. It's just not something that I never really used a whole lot.
Yeah, because if you look at it, we talk about this a little, is that if they're making UI improvements to make it look nicer, that's great, but it can't get in the way of the functionality and the usability of the product. And in this particular case, I don't see a lot of value from being able to see the current screenshot of that application I'm jumping to. I just want to jump to it. So that's just me. That's my nitpick. What about the camera, though? I mean, I feel like that's the big...
The camera is
For me, the camera was a big deal. Going into this announcement, as far as the device is concerned, the Galaxy Nexus, which we'll talk about in a second, it was all about that megapixel kind of. Is 5 megapixels enough? And for me, my whole opinion was, well, it's enough as long as the functionality around it is solid. And I mean, the camera app itself definitely has a different look and feel to it. They've added a lot of different features in there from adding filters and in a sort of, as
the
they
hipster
put it,
filters.
Hipster filter.
That was for me.
adding those filters in there, minor kind of photo editing within the app, adding things like native panorama. And it's not a panorama where you have to line up the picture, pause, and take it. It's actually a swooping panorama, which is kind of an interesting approach. I'm sure it's been done before, but I hadn't really seen it in action. And it looked like it took reasonable pictures, although I did see a little bit of the stitching errors. So we'll see how it works in the real world. But overall, I think the camera app is redesigned to a point where I will try and use it. You know what I mean? Because the current stock camera app is just so craptastic. I would try to use it, and I hate using it. I just don't love it.
Now. The interface is clearly upgraded, but the big thing was that zero shutter time.
With the Galaxy Nexus, absolutely. And I mean, we'll talk about that in a second, but yes, absolutely. Increasing that speed, any way that you can increase that. Also, within Ice Cream Sandwich itself, you have the lock screen, which gives you instant access to the camera. Yeah. And I mean, that even goes a step further to kind of making it as easy as it should be to take a picture, because you have that split second moment where you want to take the picture. Anything that makes
the baby's walking, get it.
Yeah.
But then they also have all the you're a big fan of the filters and
I am a big fan of the filters. Yep. So they have all that, which I actually have on my Samsung phone. There is a photo editor app on there, so I kind of feel like it might be somewhat the same. But there's other photo editing things you could do within the phone, within the camera. It seems like within the camera app, cropping, red eye, straightening, rotating, all that good stuff. And then the time lapse, the video itself, 1080p, and doing the time lapse.
The 1080p is awesome. I mean,
it's gorgeous. Yeah. The video that they showed, low light detection. Is really good. They were kind of emphasizing well.
Low light is really important. But the time lapse, that's the one thing I'm like, that's cool, but how often you're like, oh, I'm going to make a time lapse video of this? Like, quick,
never.
Hold the camera still for 10 minutes.
Never.
Totally. Yeah, but you can.
So. Not
you
very
can,
often.
Though.
Yeah. But I guess
they
it's
wanted
nice
to emphasize the pretty.
Yeah.
That's another emphasis of the pretty. The beach they showed.
Yeah.
The sunset that they showed.
Photo gallery.
And the photo gallery,
Photo gallery has kind of a new, this is one of those areas where it kind of has a little bit of a tile kind of approach to it. Really big square images that are really easy to click on. Redesigned kind of way to share your photos. We've talked in previous episodes about the share menu being so huge that it extends off the screen and you have
too
do nothing
many apps,
to get up there. Now they've kind of rejiggered that to give you access to it. And then, of course, a photo gallery widget, which is very similar to... I can't pull that one up, but very similar to what you'd see on Honeycomb.
So
the more we talk about it, there is that there's a lot to this.
There's a lot packed.
There's tons. Yeah. Well, we haven't even talked about the lock screen and how that's changed. And there's a camera on the lock screen.
Or the data usage graph that you can that they're giving you a native application so you can monitor your data usage.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is pretty sweet. I mean, we were talking during the live show. Yeah, which,
like, what do the carriers think?
Like, how do the carriers feel about this? I don't know. Do you think this would really upset the carriers?
I think
it actually takes a little bit of the pressure off the carriers.
I think it does,
to do what they seem to be dragging their feet on, which is provide customers with an easy way to monitor this.
I don't want to go on the website to find out. You know, I just want to check my phone.
And it should be built into the OS. I mean, it makes perfect sense for it to be an OS feature and not incumbent on the carriers, even though the carriers are the ones that are holding your feet to the fire if you go over it. Yep. So, but it's really nice, and they do it in a very nice, subtle way with the graphs that people love and being able to set a limit so that when you hit that limit, it gives you a warning and tells you, hey, you're about to go over your limit. That's pretty cool.
Now, the keyboard has also changed, and I know you're not a fan of the gingerbread. I actually like the gingerbread keyboard. I actually I type very well with it, and with my new Samsung phone, that's not on. It's a different keyboard on my phone, and I had to use a replacement keyboard app, and I do miss the gingerbread. I just, for me, because it works for my hands, I typed more accurate with that. And now they're saying there's a built-in dictionary, there's new cut and paste, it'll work for you, Jason, because it's a bigger phone.
It's one of those things that we gotta get our hands on and play with it to see what it's like. Totally. To see because right now the copy and paste on my Nexus S right now is driving me through the roof. I can't stand it. I mean, it's a different interaction on every application. I can't get to the mode. I can't get the words I want. It's practically useless.
Yeah.
I am using Swipe as a keyboard, but if the new keyboard has good spell checking and good autocorrect and things like that, then
honestly, it would take a lot to move me away from SwiftKey. I'm so locked into SwiftKey, and it works great for me. And the prediction is awesome. They say their prediction is better. And they did show off a really neat kind of spell check way per word. So you can click on a word you've typed, it'll give you a list of the words that it could be, and you can immediately change it right there. I did like that.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like a point release. This feels like a major release, not a point release. That's what I meant. I mean, this is Android 4.0. This is a major upgrade.
Widgets are resizable now, which is awesome. Great.
And also, in the app drawer, you see both applications and widgets, their tabs. You can select between the two, which is cool, which is a greater way to bring widgets up to the forefront.
Doesn't show off the widgets on the screen, but
but you can see the widgets.
It's a left to right swipe for your apps. I don't know why that I keep getting hung up on that.
Left to right swipe with a little bit of fade in, like you swipe and then it comes and in it and then pushes up, in.
It's a nifty effect, but kind of takes you more into the iOS zone, which is one reason why I think actually a lot of people like the up and down. So, but I mean, in Honeycomb it was left to right, and that makes a lot more sense because it's a landscape screen. This is still, you know, a vertical screen.
I don't like the up and down.
But they're not
came from iOS.
Not
this. Yeah. I changed that right away with my launcher. I was like, ooh, I like this. And the calendars, they showed the pinch and zoom on the calendar. I like that to go in and out to see your appointments.
If you want to get more fine-tuned email, information on a calendar item, pinch in.
Did we miss anything? There's so many. Like, the entire announcement was huge, but I think that pretty much covers it. Well, they talked a little bit about voice and the dictation, which it didn't quite do it properly. They said, "Hey, man," and it said "maybe" or something.
It said "maps."
Maps instead of "Hey, man."
He hit the thing and talked too quick. You know, do that, there's like a little window that. Yeah. I've just learned to pause a little bit after I hit the take. Yeah. Otherwise, it kind of chops off that first word, and you never know what you're going to get. But, you know, all things considered, there were a couple of demo fails in the thing. I think the big one was, of course, the face detection. The other ones, you can kind of forgive them for. But it's so hard to get all of this stuff right.
Having said that,
everybody's going to lock onto the demo fails.
Of course.
Hopefully they don't.
That's the thing they're going to, you know, it's probably already a YouTube clip right now.
Yeah, probably.
Demo fail.
APIs to share for developers to tackle. APIs.
The SDK is out. That's the one thing, the one kind of complaint that we had is that we got sometime in November. It will be released sometime in November. The phone will be available sometime in November. We don't know when, but as of today, when the announcement happened, the SDK is available, so developers can go download and get involved in it and start upgrading their applications, which is cool. And also, if you're curious, you go to developer.android.com, and there's a lot of information about the some of the functionality that's new with Ice Cream Sandwich.
Right.
So should we move on to the device?
Let's move on to the device itself. So it is called the Galaxy Nexus, which Ron doesn't really like that.
They set up a nomenclature. It was Nexus Blank.
You would have been happy with Nexus Prime.
Nexus Prime would have been. That's a powerful phone. This is the Nexus Prime.
I like Nexus Prime more than Galaxy Nexus. I don't hate Galaxy Nexus.
Well, because you know what that is? That's Google and Samsung marketing sitting there. Well, we've got this Galaxy platform that we're trying to develop. And so, you know, but make it Nexus Galaxy. I could have worked with Nexus Galaxy. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
So supposedly the first phone with 4.0 Ice Cream Sandwich, 4.65-inch HD Super AMOLED display. I love the AMOLED.
1280 by 720.
You love that.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm curious to see it up close and, you know, in person. Yep. And just to kind of compare it against kind of the beast in the room as far as the display is concerned, the iPhone, which has the Retina display, I think they're very, very close as far as that's concerned. I think the iPhone still beats it by a small margin for pixels per inch.
But hey, 1280 by 720 on the resolution. Yeah. That's I'm producing video. That's what I'm exporting my video at.
Not to mention 1280 by 720 on a tiny little device is going to look pretty damn sharp. Yeah. So. Yeah.
1.2 gigahertz dual core processor, 5 megapixel rear camera with LED flash and 1080p, which we mentioned, HD video, 1.3 megapixel front facing cam, Bluetooth. Bluetooth 3. I didn't hear NFC mentioned specifically so much, but you know, with the Android. We didn't mention Android Bump, or did we?
No, we didn't.
It's not even Android Bump. It's Android.
Android Beam. Thank you.
And 1 gig of RAM. Now we're hearing there's going to be a 16 and a 32 gig internal storage space phone.
Gadget's reporting that we didn't really hear anything about that in the presentation. And everything leading up to this has said 32 gigs of internal storage.
Nicole Lee from CNET has a good breakdown, and hers also says no room for micro SD storage. And then let's see here, HSPA plus LTE.
That's kind of a good thing for folks who are worried that this might be an exclusive, at least in the U.S., on Verizon. At least this means it's going to more carriers than that. They played very coy, though, with any sort of information whatsoever about when this is going to be released, other than sometime in November.
I don't think they even played coy. They just didn't even do it. No, you're right.
It's not like they avoided it. They just didn't say anything about it, other than sometime in November. And, you know, the only clue you have about any sort of carrier coverage is the HSPA Plus and LTE. No specific carrier coverage. I imagine we're going to hear about that soon. We have to hear about that soon. We know. Pretty much with certainty that it's going to Verizon at this point.
It's all but
officially confirmed.
What do we think about the actual device? This has got a slight curve.
I like the curve. I'm a Nexus S user, and I've already had the curve.
I will say I miss the curve on mine because mine's very straight. I do miss the curve.
It's got the textured background like your phone has.
I have a little textured background.
What do they call it? Hyperflex or something like that? Something really bad.
I didn't even know that's what it was called.
It's hypercolor. It changes color when you... No, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. I like the curve. I like the form factor of it. I like the camera being in the center. My camera is a little off-center, so I like the camera being dead. It's just a little thing on that. One thing on the Android Beam, which we didn't really touch upon that much, is you can tap two phones together, and it is NFC enabled. It's an NFC based thing. It says on the website that it's NFC. And so if I'm looking at a web page, we can tap them, send the URL over to your phone. If I'm looking at a YouTube video, send the video over. If I'm playing a game and we tap, it'll send you to the Android Market to go download the game, which is pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
Some interesting use cases as to how they're going to apply the Beam functionality, you know, because how does it differentiate this is a game versus this is data, you know? So to be curious to see how developers can utilize that.
And they specifically called this out, saying that there are APIs to share for developers around this, around a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, but this specifically they mentioned. We'll see how awesome and popular Beam gets. I don't know. I kind of hope I kind of don't feel like it's the type of feature that will excite.
It's a deal. It's not a deal breaker for you.
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, how often do we bump? I don't even.
I don't even have bump installed.
Yeah, I mean, or we could. You guys could do that with double twist bump. You know, change exchange music. We don't do this.
I mean, I suppose the benefit here is it's not something that you have to find somebody else that has it installed. You know, it's just part of the OS, and if you have NFC.
And I do got to admit that there have been times where I've been on a phone. I'm like, oh, check this out. I'll send you the URL, and let you know. And if I can just tap the phone, then that works that much better, that much easier. So we'll see. Again, it's one of those things where we just got to see it and play with it and see what it looks like. But,
totally.
I don't know. But the question about the NFC is, will it work with a case? I assume it will. That's why I'm asking, the touching aspect was like so...
I remember taking my case off at Google I.O. when we did the double twist demo, and we put the two Nexus phones together, and I had my case on and said, oh, you have to take off the case.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I remember that specifically.
Well, I don't use a case anyway, so whatever.
Still, that sucks. I mean, that's a lot of people.
I hardcore dropped my phone this weekend, by the way, and it survived numerous times. Like, I had numerous drops. Like, I was plugged into a table, I kept on getting knocked off, and it survived.
Don't let it break yet. You got to wait at least a month, right?
Sometime in November.
Yeah.
Take it from a person who's without a phone right now. It sucks living through somebody else's kindness. Thank you, Wiley. You're welcome.
But yeah, so release date, we don't know, sometime in November. And that's kind of it for that phone.
I mean, just to go ahead and put it on the table, this is my next phone. I don't know why I wouldn't get this phone at this point. It was sort of somewhat anticlimactic.
Wait, so did you just commit to getting this phone?
Yeah, I think I did.
Episode 30, Jason has committed to buying a phone.
I feel to myself it would be ridiculous for me to get any other phone. To finally have the chance to get a Nexus phone on Verizon, which was kind of what kept me from getting a Nexus phone in the past, and to have Ice Cream Sandwich, which is the new kind of OS. I'm getting this phone.
The only thing that was sort of anticlimactic for me is that a lot of this stuff got spoiled early. Even just the look and feel.
Spoilers.
It was. Yeah. I was like, I like being surprised.
Yeah, there were a lot of little leaks.
Like, oh, yeah, it is a 4.6.
But still, we saw a lot of really nitty-gritty information on Ice Cream Sandwich, especially Nexus Prime, or Galaxy Nexus. Was a little bit less of a mystery, I think. Ice Cream Sandwich we finally saw in full color, kind of, you know, higher res than the leaks that we've seen.
I'm starting to come around on Galaxy Nexus. I approach it from like a more of a Star Trek, like we're at the Galaxy Nexus.
Wow. So that was fast.
It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
All right, but there was also another phone that probably, I don't know, do you think it's overshadowed at this point?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. I feel somewhat a little bit bad for Motorola.
I do too, but I feel a little bit bad
for them, because they actually initially had today as their big announcement for their big new device, the Droid Razr. That's right, the old Razr, the flip phone that took the world by storm because it was so damn thin.
I had one of those. Hey, everybody had one of those.
is now being released as a Droid, and it's incredibly thin. They had to at least get that right.
Yes.
That was the whole thing behind the old one. 7.1 millimeters thick,
which is thinner than my phone.
And thinner than the Galaxy Nexus, which I believe clocks in somewhere around 8.9 or something like that. So it's definitely thinner. I think they were touting it as the thinnest phone on the market.
Yep. It probably is.
I would love to see that in person and see how that measures up. But 4.3-inch QHD Super AMOLED display. So it's
first for any mobile handset,
they say. Dual-core 1.2 gigahertz Ti OMAP 4430 processor. 8-megapixel rear camera, and that's capable of 1080p HD video, 1 gig RAM, 16 gigs internal storage, 16 gigs micro SD card, so a total of 32 gigs of storage, which matches the Galaxy Nexus.
Did we mention that there was no SD storage?
I think we mentioned it in passing.
In the Galaxy Nexus, there's no SD storage.
There is no removable SD card on there.
Which is, I know everybody's like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. I haven't changed my SD card.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why I wanted a new phone, because I needed more space.
Right.
This is a little off topic from here, but I think a lot of people, like music fans especially, will have a 32 gig SD card filled with nothing but like lossless or, you know, like high quality MP3s. And that's like that is their MP3 player. Is
but
that
what was one of the things Google was touting in the presentation was the access to the cloud.
I don't think
we're there yet, honestly. And I think you're doing really well without it.
I'm doing really well without it. I was just in New York again, and
yeah, you're New York. You weren't driving through the mountains for me going to a wedding and not having access to the internet, so I needed my actual phone.
Look at your choices.
Yeah, I like nature, and then nature doesn't always have the internet, so I'm going to need the music on my phone. So I don't like not having expandable storage, that's all. But going back
this Motorola, I mean, it's tough because they you have a decision. Are you gonna? They knew the Google announcement was coming. Do we get in front of it, or do we go behind it?
Yeah, I mean, they'd already had this date locked in.
Yeah, they did.
Google
that looks really nice, though. If you're looking at the video, the thinness of it. Yeah, I remember getting excited about my little Razer flip phone way back in the day. So they're
it's a good brand. People still remember it, and it's when it's that thin. Yeah, I mean that's not too bad.
It better be thin with the Razer name. Exactly. Look at that; it's gorgeous. Yeah. But there's some cons to it as well.
Well, so just real quick, LapDock 100 and 500 Pro compatible.
Oh, yeah.
Two different kind of laptop docks that are more going for the universal approach. So these, I think, going forward for these types of Motorola phones are going to work in all those phones, and those are kind of iffy. They cost a decent chunk more. I don't have the numbers up here right in front of me, but same as they did when the Atrix came out and the laptop dock, was like $250 or something like that for that accessory. And is it that much? Is it that important to you? And they're just kind of kludgy looking, like, because they're universal. Some phones lay down like horizontally into the back, and some jut out like vertically. Yeah. So it just kind of looks kind of clunky if you're kind of dropping that money. But hey, it might work perfectly for some people. Smart Actions, which I thought was kind of interesting for them to build in, which is actually very similar to Tasker, the app that I covered weeks ago, that allows you to kind of build profiles based on scenarios. Where are you? Okay, well then if you're there, then I'll turn on Wi-Fi, and if you're not, then I'll turn it off to save battery. They've got that built in their own thing called Smart Actions.
Which is good, which is cool to see them acknowledging battery management as something that users need.
And it'll kind of bring that type of programming and make it a little bit more kind of accessible to people, I think. Because I think a lot of people get turned off by Tasker because it's too...
And it's third party.
It's too flexible.
What about the Kevlar fiber backing?
Just in case you get shot.
For those of you in Detroit...
That's a very Motorola thing to do. When you look at Motorola's designs on their phones, they always have that kind of rubberized kind of backing, and Samsung always has the kind of slick backing. Like we were talking about this during the announcement. Yes, Samsung has that kind of rugged back, but it still kind of feels like plastic. If it's the same as the Galaxy, I'm getting them all mixed up. Your phone.
The
SGS2. There we go, SGS2. If it's the same as that, then it's, it's ruggedized maybe a little bit, but it's not the rubberized kind of feel that Motorola tends to like to go with.
Right.
Pre-orders on this starting October 27th, again, releasing sometime in November. I'm pretty positive these are all going to kind of sync up to be around the same time. Cons on this, however, non-removable battery. They kind of glossed over that a little bit, so you're stuck with your battery. And for an LTE device, we haven't seen any LTE device that really performs amazingly when it's running LTE. People usually tend to, power users want to be able to swap in an extra battery or something, or have something bigger. So you can't do that here. Also, locked bootloader, which if you go back to like March of this year, Motorola kind of made a statement saying, by the end of 2011, we're going to be unlocking our bootloaders. Well, they're not doing it here. And it's kind of the end of 2011, more or less. How many new phones is Motorola going to introduce? I guess they still have some time, and maybe they'll unlock it eventually. Moto seems to blame Verizon for this, say that it's a carrier thing, and it's a possibility that the European version will be unlocked. So I guess that remains to be seen. But hey, it's not a bad phone. $299. Like I said, Verizon, you got some choice if you're an Android fan of Verizon for this holiday season, for sure.
Oh, and then, of course, Moto Active. We won't spend a whole lot of time on this. This is really
quick. Yeah, I kind of don't care, honestly. It's kind of like, okay, whatever. Right.
A little bit of a footnote. 600 really megahertz processor running Android. It's like a watch form factor, so it's meant for the exercise slash runner person.
Well, I don't understand why Motorola would want to, but it's aiming at the Nano, kind of. Because the Nano's got a lot of the stuff in there. It's starting to, Apple's got their watch mount for the Nano.
So if it's aiming at the Nano, a comparable 8 gig Nano is half the price of an 8 gig Moto Active.
Right.
So if it's aiming at the Nano, it's doubling the price.
Right.
And
what
that's kind of a non-starter there. However, what do you get for that? You get GPS, you get Bluetooth. So if a call comes in on your phone, it syncs up to your wrist. Some people, would find that a reason. FM radio. Audio coaching, which I guess the Nano kind of has if you have the...
You look like that guy on there. Once you start using it, you look like that guy with the muscles and the photo
you get really fit.
Yelling at me as I'm running.
Some people need motivation, I guess.
Yeah, I need audio coaching.
And then if you really want to extend the capabilities of this, you have to buy an extra headset, which is kind of where the price gets even more, right? The wireless headset, the SF700, is $150 more. So, and what does that give you? That basically gives you, I think, heart rate that it detects through your ears, heart rate monitors, well, a few other things. But, to really get the full value of this, you're dropping close to 400 bones. I put it up on Google Plus to kind of see what people thought and, fitness heads, is this worth it to you? And some people in there were actually pointing out that it's less a competitor to the iPod Nano and more a competitor to things like the Garmin 305, 310, watches that are specifically designed for this stuff and cost somewhere around $400 in and of themselves. Right. Yeah. It seems like kind of a niche thing. My point was, no matter what, it's targeting, people are going to see this as a competitor to the iPod Nano,
absolutely,
whether they're right
that's
or they're
what it
wrong.
Looks like. Yeah.
And if they see that, if they think that, and it's twice as expensive, it's not going to do well. But maybe Motorola is okay with just appealing to that very niche market. So I don't know.
Clearly, somebody in their product marketing said we should do this.
Yeah,
I mean they've built a whole platform around it. I mean clearly they see a gap in the market that they think they can go in and do well on. So we'll see.
I'm all about new, doing new things with Android. Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like this is a case of not learning your lesson from the tablet situation, which was that all these tablets came out and they were more expensive than the beast in the room, and you're not going to compete that way. People, the value proposition is not good enough at that point.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see how it does.
I would so buy the Galaxy Nexus over this phone. Even though it's big, even though the Nexus is
over
a little
Razor.
Over the Razor, even though the Nexus is 4.65, which I still have an issue with, but I will hold one in my hand before I say anything about that.
I would have to test.
It's different, right? Because
the
home keys.
Camera.
Yeah, you want to work with the camera. I want
to
hold. I want
to
see the fit in my hand. Yeah.
Just getting bigger and bigger, man.
I just don't know if I can afford another phone, but since I already upgraded. But I think between the two, the pure Google experience is so much better. I actually miss that, the pure Google experience and getting the updates and that kind of thing.
And we had Gina Trevani on the live stream, and she made that comment that she always gets. She got, and I'm the same way. I got the Nexus One. I got the Nexus, the Nexus S. I like having the official Google Nexus phone.
You get everything.
All
the time.
And we get the over-the-air updates first. So,
usually. Always happens.
One thing that I'm just thinking of right now, and I hope it plays out to be true, is the fact that I hope that Google is setting a precedent right now with their Nexus devices in the sense that they're no longer, they're no longer limiting these things to one single carrier and leaving everybody else out to dry. Right now, they're kind of opening the floodgates and saying, what? And this still remains to be seen, but it's closer than it's ever been. They're saying we are willing to make multiple versions of this device to work with, all these carriers so that more people can get on it. I really hope that they hold true to that going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll see.
One more piece of news before, we're not going. We're going to do a shorter show because we knew we were going to talk a lot about the Galaxy Nexus and the new Motorola Razr.
Shorter show, really?
Yeah, it is kind of a shorter.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's not really any shorter.
Just like normal,
man.
We just love to talk about this. Google I/O dates were announced April 24th and 25th of 2012.
So get ready to not be able to get a ticket.
Because it sold out in 1 hour.
Exactly,
last
yeah.
I remember that. So mark that date on your calendar. I already have on all my various calendars.
Yeah. And you can now pinch and zoom in on. So.
Yeah, when I get ice cream sandwich, then I can pinch and zoom. When is that? And then I'll have to mark on the calendar when they actually go on sale and that kind of thing. But before we move on, we should probably take a little ad break.
Yeah, right? Let's do it real quick here. This episode is brought to you by Netflix, which streams thousands of TV episodes and movies directly to you, saves you time, money, and hassle, all three things that I, you know, have little of and all that. So this is, Netflix is great for me. There are several easy ways to instantly access streaming movies and TV shows with Netflix. You can watch Netflix movies and TV shows on your Mac, your PC, your iPad, your iPhone, Android phones, Android tablets, gaming consoles, Xbox 360, PS3,
it's
Nintendo
everywhere.
Wii. It's everywhere.
You can get discs chances sent to you
are, still. Chances are you have a device that works with Netflix. Go ahead and check it out. If you go to netflix.com/twit, you can try Netflix for 30 days free, and you can cancel that anytime, so you can check it out and see what you think and not be completely committed. And then, you know what? I have a feeling in the end you're probably going to keep it because it's pretty sweet. So
yeah,
be sure
to
use that.
Walking Dead is on there, and if you are not caught up, you can get caught up on Netflix streaming, and then you could catch up and watch only the episode one of season two has aired, so you can catch up. There it is, The Walking Dead, if you're watching the video.
And don't they have the deal where you can watch the current season on Netflix? Like, aren't they? Is AMC rolling out? Or they
with
rolling out
The Walking
with
Dead?
They might be rolling out with Mad Men.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
that.
They
will be there. Yeah. What's great is you're seeing so many. I was actually at a conference last week, and we were talking about the changing landscape of television and how the MSOs, which were the multi-service operators, which are like the Cablevisions, the Comcast of the world, that really now, like I heard a guy from IFC speak, and he said they consider Netflix and Hulu to be the new MSOs. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a lot more shows premiere on TV and then it'd be available on Netflix either at the same time or the same day. A ton of deals are getting struck to enable that.
So that's great.
You know, so if that's your preferred choice to watch TV, you get more options,
there
which is go. Cool.
More options. Love it.
I just noticed that the Trip is on Netflix.
The Trip?
The Trip is a movie of, it was a TV show in England, in the UK, that was condensed down to a movie starring Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon about a road trip through the English countryside. And it was it's fantastic. So
it's very British.
Yeah, yes, it is. And
there's very British.
There's a great scene where the two
My
of them
husband
are,
will love this.
They're doing dueling Michael Caine impressions.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with The Trip. So if you haven't seen that, it's on Netflix streaming. I strongly recommend it. So.
Nice. Well, go check it out. You can. 30 days free. Netflix.com/twit. We thank Netflix for their support of Twit.
Thank you, Netflix.
And all about Android. And we hope you enjoy watching instantly on Netflix. All right, let's take a quick email. We might as well. We haven't heard from you guys in a while, including last week.
Yeah, that's right. Android Open, we didn't answer any emails.
But that was fun, though.
That was really fun. Yeah. Thanks again to the O'Reilly.
We met a lot of viewers. A lot of the audience was at Android Open. It was pretty cool to meet people actually enjoying the show. Thank you. Yeah.
People sitting around, like, watching us do our show.
I know, that was so
weird.
It
made us feel so
efficient. It was like we were all grown up.
I know, right? All right, so Brad Dixon wrote in to say, my question is, how can I transfer my purchase history from my old Gmail account to my new account so I can associate the new account with my Android? I have had my original Gmail account forever, basically, and would like to change it for one that has a more meaningful name instead of one that I thought was cool before.
Wow.
Ha. Don't want to lose my purchased apps, though. Any help? I'm running a rooted Verizon Thunderbolt. I've heard about this. I've done some searching. It kind of confirmed what I had kind of heard about this in the past. There really is no solution to transfer your apps from one Google account to another. It's kind of unfortunate.
Right now I'm in the middle of the Google accounts maelstrom. And then I've got numerous accounts, and I've got my work account, I've got my personal account.
I have numerous, too.
Yeah, and it's driving me crazy.
You know what's been messing me up is the in the market, every once in a while, it'll show a different account and not the main account. And that's driving me crazy because I have to go in there and I have to change that.
Affect a lot of people.
Actually, I had a couple of weeks ago, I had drinks with a friend of mine, a mutual friend of ours who works at Google, and we're talking. He's asking me what what should we be doing and stuff like that. And I was like, multiple accounts,
please
fix it, please. And so, yeah. And he laughed and he said, yeah, that's it's on the radar and they're working on it. And they're already, and you're already seeing little, like the new login screen. And I mean, now it's getting a little more Google. But yeah, but there's the new login screen and Google Plus is the way to switch accounts. And
yeah,
it's still getting, it's still a little kludgy, but you're right, Jason, you're right. There's no way to transfer your purchases
from one account to another. Yeah, I mean, just, I guess the good thing is you can add multiple accounts to your phone.
Exactly.
So you can still get access to the old ones. Yeah. It just doesn't make things nice and tidy if you want them all in, under one thing. Also, I did find that if you contact the developers directly, a lot of times if you explain to them the situation, they might be able to hook you up. But, you know, I mean, don't hold them, you know, don't be all mad if they don't. I mean, it's kind of a pain in the butt for them, I would imagine.
I really think your best solution is adding the multiple accounts to the device. And just add the
right
old,
now, I don't know if there's much more you can do.
Yeah, add the old accounts, install the apps, add the new account, and just use the new account moving forward. And then every time you change devices, you just need to add those accounts. But that's the best you can do. So,
All right, cool. Let's move on to apps.
It's all you, Hal.
Yeah, real quick here.
It's the Jason show.
First thing. I know. I need to stop talking.
I'm just gonna go back to cleaning my screen.
I got my beer.
No, don't. It'll too much of a mess. Right, please don't. Just real quick here. I ported my number over to Google Voice over the
weekend. Oh, my God. You did it.
I did it. I officially did it.
How is it? Is it a brave new world?
I mean, I get a call at the number I'm used to getting calls from, and they route to the Eileen's Nexus S. Nice.
Can I take a picture and send it to you via MMS?
No, you won't be able to. Are you on Sprint?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, then that's the secret thing. However, coming to Sprint customers only for now, multimedia attachments, MMS attachments, will display on the mobile forwarding phone and in their email inbox when they enable text-to-email forwarding in their Google Voice settings. So, I mean, this is less like a revolutionary announcement and more just kind of a sign that Google does realize, obviously, that MMS is a big deal to a lot of their users. And they've been able to work it out more or less to Sprint users, although I have heard from a lot of people that, you know, fit the criteria here and say it doesn't seem to be working for me. So there are still kinks to be worked out, but I'm hopeful
that they can figure out
this MMS thing. Like, they're Google. Can't they figure that out?
I mean, that's still my deal breaker, but as we were going through the ice cream sandwich announcement and they showed the integrated Google Voice integration on the phone app, I was like, oh, that's really tempting. Yeah. And considering I really want a 516 number, I could change my number and I can get a Google Voice number I was driving today and I was plotting it in my head.
But so far, I like it. It does. When you port, there's like a 3-day window where you don't receive text messages.
Up to three days.
Yeah.
Well, that would kill you, Ron.
That would totally kill me. That's my social life.
So
I know. I had to really plan it and be like, all right, when am I going to do this? Yeah. You know.
Does it store?
I don't know if I planned it right because I'm not getting any of those text messages. So.
Wait, you never get them or just store?
I don't know. I'm hoping that they eventually appear.
Oh my God. I can't have any downtime. Yeah. Seriously.
Well, Ron, you would.
That's a major service.
Keep that in mind.
Seriously. Wow.
But once it's done, it's done. So it's so people only hate you for a couple of days.
Yeah, when you go on vacation or something.
When I go on vacation. When I go on vacation.
Well, okay. Go on vacation.
Bye, Ron.
There we go.
Hey,
all right.
Let's go to the arena.
Two enter. One lives. Android Arena.
All right. So let's see here. 2 weeks ago, you may remember, episode 28, we had a grab bag episode, and looks like, well, what do you know? TuneIn Radio.
Wait, really?
Wow.
Yes. Two in a row.
55% of the votes for TuneIn Radio. Second
it's an
place.
Awesome app.
Second place, WhatsApp.
Oh, I blew you away. 26%. I blew everyone away. One night, yes.
And third
I'm
place,
so competitive.
My app, Pano.
Really mean. Sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you, United States. Everybody voted for me.
Thank you, world.
Thank you, Brazil. What is this, Ecuador? Colombia?
I totally forgot about
Australia,
this
New Zealand. I love you guys. Oh, most of Europe.
Hey, what up, Mexico?
What's up, France? I'm going to you in December. You didn't vote for me? Come on.
Thanks, Norway.
Oh, wait, do I have... Wait, what's in the Middle East? Do I have Iran? Is that Saudi Arabia that I won?
Yeah, I think you got Saudi Arabia.
And
you got India.
And South Africa. Nice.
And Mexico.
You can tell what markets I'm looking to expand to by this one.
No. Oh, Colombia likes me. Thank you, Colombia.
All right.
We in Japan.
We could seriously do an entire episode where we just go, we just like, oh,
Whoever votes for your, whatever country votes for your app, you have to go visit now.
You have to go on vacation.
Yeah,
like,
now I'm going to Japan.
And then you'll do your little Google Voice thing. Yeah. All right, so this week, okay, we know that we promised games. We know that we did that. 2 weeks ago, we promised games.
I know.
We're changing it up a little bit because a little thing happened between then and now. And that little thing is called the iPhone 4S, a.k.a. Siri, which everyone seems to be going ballistic over.
And then blank Siri.
Radio voice. Everybody's going ballistic over
this. Ballistic over. And then there's the other people, the Android people, that are like, yeah, we've had voice commands and actions for a long time. Siri's
nothing.
Yeah,
but she talks back.
Well, we might have a solution for you here. Sam from Canada writes in and says, with the whole Siri thing with the iPhone 4S, I'm curious about voice actions and how it compares to Vlingo and Google Voice Search.
I have to say I felt a little left out this weekend because I didn't get a 4S and I'm not going to get another iPhone. So I posted on Google Plus, so I'm kind of lamenting that I don't get to play with Siri like the 4 million people out there who bought a 4S are. And I got some suggestions. So I don't know if I'm first, but
You want to go first?
I would like to go last.
Okay. Right. Ron really wants to go last.
I don't care.
I could go first. Right. So I got a few suggestions, and the main suggestion that I got, I'm going to move this cleaner here, is an app called Speak to It. And Speak to It is in beta, and it's free in the Android marketplace. And I just found out that they have a Kickstarter. We'll show that in a little bit. But Speak to It, what I have now, I didn't put a widget on my phone, Chad. I don't know if you can see this here. But I do have the app itself, just called Assistant. And when you launch it, you get an icon.
Oh.
I'm happy to see you too. So this avatar, you could actually change what the avatar looks like. When you launch it, you see an avatar of a person. You can change the gender. You could change the hair color. I liked, the little I put a little blue mohawk in mine. But if I can go back to settings, if you go into settings, here's the appearance tab, and you have many, you can change your background, which I don't want to do. You could change your avatar. You could build a new avatar, which, Siri doesn't have a cool little avatar. That's fine. I mean, you don't need to have a cool avatar. But, you could change body type, hair, brows, eyes.
So you can, build it.
You could totally build it.
It's not just preset.
Yep. I could put glasses on her. I really do that? Yeah, there we go. I'll put some glasses on her.
You should tap into Androidify.
Here's the male version. It's loading. I'm not using the Wi-Fi here. But you can have a male version. Very waspy version right there. So I'm going to go back to my lady and give her glasses. Oh, and it's downloading the avatar. Okay, I don't really want it to take that long, and it's not. Great. So, and all you do here is you either type or you tap the microphone tab here button, and then you speak to it. So what would you guys like me to ask her? Oh, I know. I'll do first. What is the meaning of life?
Well, way to start with a deep one.
Yeah, no kidding.
The meaning of life is a bit outside my range of expertise. For now.
For now. Again, this is beta. I didn't say anything. What else should I ask it? And this is
who is Tom Merritt?
Okay. Who is Tom Merritt?
Go for the jugular right there. I like it, Ron.
Tom Merritt is the executive editor for Net and the developer and co-host of Net Network's daily podcast Buzz Out Loud, along with Molly Wood and Veronica Belmont.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect because he no longer works at CNET.
You didn't know that he just...
Oh, I don't know why it's giving me a map of New York.
Oh, it keeps going back to voice input.
Okay.
So what's...
Play Rollin' in the Deep by Adele. Oh, it didn't.
What a play.
What a play, Rollin' in the Deep.
What is love mean?
I don't know what happened.
I told you it's beta.
Okay, wait. Play Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
I'm sorry.
Do it, Rolling in the Deep.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. This, no, this it didn't.
This is like a Google presentation. This is like
Wait, one more time. One more time.
All right.
Play Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
Oh, I'm crossing my fingers.
Yes. So then it gives, because I have the song in many many sections or many apps, I'm going to play Ardeo. This.
We Rolling in the Deep.
Oh.
Didn't quite
because
get
it. Because it did We Rolling in
there
the
it is.
Deep.
There you are. Play Rolling in the Deep, originally by Adele.
That's not this. Is it just playing? I didn't.
Rolling in the Deep, originally performed.
Yeah. No, that's not the right one. Fail!
It's by it's Emeritus Karaoke Band. The deep, so it's the karaoke version. Oh, it's the karaoke version.
It's even better.
This is awesome.
Oh, see, it's a good way for finding karaoke versions of songs.
Well, okay. I will say that it did do it right for me when I did the demo. And I also created a calendar appointment on it. There's a fire.
All right, karaoke. Here we go.
Okay, I'm not going to sing. Sorry. I gotta turn this off now.
Stop playing Rolling in the Deep.
Stop playing Rolling in the Deep. Sorry, guys. It does basic things. Again, this is in beta, and they're still working on it. Chad, can you pull up? They have a Kickstarter.
If you want to make it better,
the developers have a Kickstarter. Actually, why don't you play that video? What do we got here? It's probably doing better things than me. Oh,
hi,
that's
Kickstarter.
The CEO.
My name is Ilya, and I'm one of the creators of Speaking Assistant. Aww. One day we realized that mobile phones can do so much, but it takes a lot of time to use all these apps and web services. So we decided to create an app that will allow you to use all the goodness of modern technologies. And what can be easier than just asking something in natural language? So let's see.
Hello.
Hey, Will. What's happening?
What are my plans for today?
She doesn't know my name yet.
Here is your agenda for today. 7 p.m. Call Grandma.
I've also only used it for two days, so it needs to learn more about me.
Does it learn over time?
Yes, it should learn over time.
Take a trip.
It's like Eliza.
What is the weather like today?
Today in Seattle, it's
I didn't ask the weather.
That'd be a good one.
What about Los Angeles?
What about Los Angeles? That's what I want to know.
No kidding, eh?
Tell my friends I will be in Los Angeles today.
I'm updating your Facebook status to I will be in Los Angeles today.
That's freaky. Freaky.
Is that okay? It asks you if that's okay. Thankfully.
Your status has been updated.
I was we're done with the video. We're done with the videos. But you get a sense of what that is. It is an assistant, like the Siri assistant. It's, again, still in beta, so it needs a little work. And I've only been using this for 2 days, so it doesn't really know much about me. It doesn't do movie times. I don't think Siri does yet either. Didn't do traffic well for me. I just said, hey, what's the traffic like on the 405 in Los Angeles? And
What about Los Angeles?
Didn't do it for me.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't think you're going to win this one.
Maybe not. The champion might be going down this week.
It's got an avatar.
it's got an avatar with a mohawk. What can I say? And it says hello.
Why don't you ask her, why don't you work?
I'm not going to do that.
Ask her what the weather's like in Petaluma.
All right. What is the weather like?
Pretty open-ended question.
Yeah.
There's a lot of silence.
I know.
Stumped.
Oh, man. Unknown. Oh. Okay, yeah, I might lose this week. We should move on. I'm going to keep asking it questions. And
so that beta, help them with the beta. Speak to it assistant.
Speak to it assistant, all in one word, SpeakToIt. Assistant, and it's free in the Android marketplace.
There we go.
Thank you.
I am doing an app called Vlingo, which is a voice commands app that I've used.
What would you like to do?
I have that app too.
Speak to it.
No, that was Vlingo.
Oh.
I have
I thought your app was suddenly like butting in on me.
Oh no, sorry. I'm
like, what are you doing? Speak to an assistant. Yeah, Blingo is great. I've been using Blingo for a few months now. Actually, I didn't have it reinstalled on the Nexus S since I've had it here, and I'm really happy that I did this because through kind of reviewing it here, I've learned a few more things about it that I really like. So Blingo is an app that you can kind of have synced up to your Bluetooth in your car. It's immediately going into Speak Now. I'll remove that. But it basically has just a number of different voice actions that you can do. You can voice to text for SMS, email, dialing, tweeting, all that stuff. It can speak incoming text messages and emails to you while you're driving. You can set that up. Like I said, you can tweet from it. You can update Twitter, Facebook, and Foursquare through voice commands. It integrates with any text input that you have, so you can kind of use it all throughout with that little microphone icon. And it has what they call a super dialer that searches business addresses, maps, navigation, phone numbers, and much more. One thing that's really cool about this is something that they call in-car, which is essentially a voice-driven hands-free initiation. So it allows you to... Well, here, let me just kind of go through the demo that I had set up here. So this is just like the main screen, right? If I click the Speak It, and I hope this works a little bit for me here. Hold on. Twitter update. Can't wait to see Anthrax. Let's see here. Hopefully it got it right. Yay! So it's got my little Twitter icon up there. If I had Foursquare and Facebook, I could have those plugged in as well. All I have to do is hit that share button, and it's going to share it to my Twitter feed. So people that aren't watching right now are going to be like, okay.
Right on. Right on, dude.
So there's that. So let's see here.
I'm going to retweet that.
Yeah, please do.
It worked. Retweeted it.
Let's see here. Hold on. It caught you, Ron.
Sorry.
It caught you. And now it's confused. Launch music. Hopefully it launches music. It looks like it's launching something. And I can go ahead and hit play on that. And what do you know once it gets launched? I can't wait for the next phone that I'm going to get. Maybe be a little bit faster than this. Well, if you heard it, it would be Anthrax, and that would kind of make things all make sense here. San Francisco Testament Anthrax. It finally played the music, by the way. Ah, I hate you. I hate you live demos. It's like...
Yeah, but this is the honest demo. This is so honest.
And all right, well, I would search
all
it.
The flaws.
If Anthrax didn't start playing right there, then it would have caught my search, and it would actually tell me that it's at the Warfield. Now I can show you in-car. So in-car is this little button up here.
Sorry.
Eileen.
Just wants to say hello to me.
Shut up.
Okay, so this is in-car. So the purpose of in-car is that you have this up at all times, and it's always listening for your voice. It's waiting for you to say... Hey, Blingo, navigate to the Warfield, San Francisco.
What up?
Yeah, you can. There we go. It launches into navigation. You can change that confirmation to be whatever. I put it to what up. That isn't like the default one, by the way. So it pulls up navigation. Oh, wait a minute. Wow, I got a late start. I'm going to have to let Dude Lebowski know that I'm running late. Hey, Blingo. Tell Dude Lebowski I'm running late. And it pulls up a text message that says I'm running late. Thank you. And I could hit send and it would send it. Oh, but you know what? I needed to let Mila Kunis know that we're running late and that we'll meet her there in 15 minutes. Hey, Blingo. What? Dial Mila Kunis.
How do you know Mila Kunis?
Well, you know, I've got friends. What can I say? When you've got an app like Vlingo installed on your phone,
the world
you is your oyster.
Your
friend.
All right, so that's just a kind of an idea of why it's so cool. That in-car thing can tap into your Bluetooth. So the second it detects that you have Bluetooth, it's kind of tapped in there. And yeah, all you have to say is, hey, Vlingo. And it'll do that, and cool. I have nothing to say to it. So it's really cool. I'd say the cons that I've noticed is that accuracy, as with all of these things, I think, and I don't know about Siri because I haven't used Siri firsthand, but accuracy can always be a little iffy. Voice detection isn't a perfect science. I don't know. Does anybody know how well it works on Siri?
I haven't touched it.
Yeah, I haven't touched it either. But
it's seems to be pretty good.
Seems to be pretty solid. Yeah. So you get a little bit of that here, although not as much as I would have expected. And the more that I use Vlingo, the more I kind of understand its little idiosyncrasies, and I can work around it. One of those being a small delay at the top of a voice action. So sometimes, you know, I'll hit speak it, and you do have to wait. If I start talking, you know, before then the result would be very strange. But it gives you a little list right here of just a number of the things that you can do. And it's called Vlingo. It also has a little widget that you can put on your desktop. It actually has a bunch of different widgets that kind of have, you know, that fit different form factors for how you like to kind of fill your home screen. But Vlingo, check it out. I actually love it for in-car stuff. It's great.
Cool. All right. So for mine, I kind of went with the no-brainer. I went with the stock Google voice search. Because, hey, it comes with every phone. but actually, if you don't have it on your phone, you can install it from the Android Marketplace, and it's free, which is no-brainer. But this is less of a, unlike Vlingo or whatchamacallit, what was your app called again?
Speak to it.
It's not so much an assistant or a driving aid or anything like that. It's just basically how to access data and control your phone via your voice. So it helps when you're driving in the car. I've used it to it ties into the native voice recognition application within Android. So already it's got a leg up there. It's using the same thing that both these apps are using, in that the voice recognition is as good as all three of them, but then it applies it natively within the Android ecosystem interface. I'm tired. So if you look here on the phone, I installed, it's got a nifty little widget, which is a search widget, and you can either type in or you can just hit this little microphone, and it's kind of blasted out, blown out, but I'm sorry about that. I will change my brightness. Let's see if that will fix that.
Boom.
Go down. Go away.
There we go.
Okay. Okay, so you can see that, and then so you just hit the microphone and you start talking. And basically what you can do is anything, you can either type search terms or you can say search terms or you can say applications or things to do with it. So I can just hit the microphone, I can say, I just totally blanked on what I'm going to say, God damn it. So I can just go, Twitter. And you can see here, search the web for Twitter. And so from here, I can go right into it. So if I'm looking for locations, if I can say the Warfield in San Francisco. And I picked up the Warfield, and boom, I can go right into the maps. So that's pretty cool. What is interesting, though, is that you can also you can specify where you want to search. So if you tap the little G button in the left-hand corner, and I'll do that again. If you tap G, that's my phone. Okay, hang on. So if you tap the G, you can search everything, search the web, search apps, search contacts. So I can hit contacts, and then I can say Eileen.
Oh, be careful, my phone number.
It didn't hear me. Eileen. See, so it's now saying, did you mean Eileen Rivera?
Oh, and I got the show that.
You can show this. It's okay. It came up and says, did you mean Eileen Rivera? And I got the little contacts thing. I can go to her contact, or I can search for Eileen.
Many ways people spell my name when I get my food. Table.
So now what I thought was pretty cool was that you can also specify, you can change the settings, and you can specify what apps it searches. So here you can get a list of all your searchable items. So here I've checked off the web. I've checked off apps, contacts. But let's say I don't need to search, I don't need to search for contacts, but I do need to search for music. So I can add that and go back here, and if I hit that, you'll see now the music icon is available. So what I can do is I can go to here. Morrissey. And there it searched the web. Ah, why didn't it search music?
Say listen to.
Ah, okay. Listen to Morrissey. There you go. Listen to. You can use this feature within many different applications. Yada, yada. So listen to Morrissey. And that's similar to how your app works. So I can say with music.
Music apps.
And so it will go to Google Music where all my music is stored in the cloud. And you see there I'm searching for Morrissey. And so I get done. And I will get all my wonderful library of Morrissey songs. So. Cool. So that's pretty much it. I mean, it's simple. It's straight to, you know, so I can, again, I can use those verbs to make, to, whatchamacallit, to trigger actions. So I can search. I can say, call Eileen. Yeah, thank you. And don't show this, but it came up with a call Eileen Rivera, and I can trigger to call from there. So it's a great way to access your phone via voice. I've used it while driving the car to keep from crashing and saying, you know, searching for destinations. I also use the voice activate stuff to text, you know, to text people and say, text Eileen, and then say the text and all that. And it just, you know, you don't need to install anything else. It's just there and it works. So,
well, there you go. There are our three voice action or voice search apps. And they're similar yet different. Similar-ish. I think mine is like the most out there, but...
But I like the craziness of yours. I mean, yeah. I like it's wacky. It's kind of like
what
a game.
It promises to do.
Yeah.
And I think as the beta kind of works
itself
out. That's
why I keep emphasizing
out,
it's beta.
Yeah, right.
It's beta.
It'll probably.
Hey, you know, if you got a couple laughs during my live demo.
There you go.
You know, yeah, then I'm happy.
Any my job. Anytime you have an avatar with a mohawk, I'm there.
Right.
I'm there. You got one up on mine. Hey, I'm voting for it based on the mohawk alone.
Oh, thank you so much, Ron.
And you can vote for it too. Go to bit.ly/pullAAA30 bit.ly/pullAAA30 and vote for your favorite voice actions app. Vlingo, speak to it, voice search.
I'm going to guess Vlingo is going to win by a slight edge over Google search and Mohawk is going to come in last. That's my guess.
Yeah, well, Mohawk might come in last.
We didn't include, and I'll only mention this very briefly because I only just learned of it, something called Iris. Get it? Siri backwards.
Oh,
early beta. I actually just
did
installed
you install it.
It?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I haven't played with it at all.
She's dancing.
Yay. But yeah, so let's
the icon
see
on the app when you launch it, for those who are listening to audio, I think there's a silhouette of a woman looking like she's dancing. But anyway.
What is
on the iPhone?
No, on your app, on the Iris. You didn't see it? She was. It was like a silhouette.
The load screen,
of the load screen was.
Oh, it's kind of like the iPod.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
look at that. Yeah.
All right. So, what do we ask it here? Where do you hide a dead body?
Where do you hide a dead body? Yeah.
Let's see.
Is it working?
Now this is like super beta. Oh, sorry. I know I'm going to mess this up. Where do you hide a dead body?
What? That's
I
rude.
I just asked you one, Iris.
One more.
Where do you hide a dead body?
Blah, blah, blah. Wow, so Iris so has like some attitude.
It's like a smack talking.
Yeah.
Tell her you love her. Let's see what happens.
I love you. So Iris is pretty dumb.
Yeah, is that alpha?
Yeah, I think it pretty much is.
Yeah.
But if you really want to, check the show notes and you can go check that out. Maybe that'll improve. Next week, we'll go ahead and actually do games.
Yes, we will.
I have a pretty good game that I actually really like a lot.
He wants to win.
Cool.
So tune in next week. But I think that's it. We've somehow stretched a short show into
a normal
well,
if not
so
long
show. There's
so much
to talk about with the Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, there was a lot
to talk
about.
We're so excited. We waited a week for this announcement. And
this is fun. This is much better than you being in San Diego, being there. I mean, firstly for me. No, I mean, I'm sure you would have liked to have been there. It would have been cool.
I would have been in the demo room.
But personally for me, this was fun. It was inclusive. We had ice cream sandwiches. Yes. We had beer. We cleaned our screens.
Yes.
It was a good time.
It was a party.
Yeah, it was a party. It was an Android party. Yeah. And that's really
one of the better parties I've ever been to.
That's all I've hoped for with the show, that we'd have an Android party.
You got it, Ron.
I know. All right, Ron, go ahead and plug away.
So if you like the insanity that I bring to the show, you can find me. Go to about.me/RonXO, and you can find all my links to Twitter and to Google Plus and to Facebook and yada yada, all that fun stuff. And you can find me every day over on iFanboy.com and Graphically.com, which are all websites dedicated to comics. And Graphically has some wonderful Android applications, including we just recently launched applications available on the Amazon App Store as well as the Barnes & Noble Nook to read The Walking Dead.
Nice.
That launched last week. So if you're into The Walking Dead, you can get all 14 volumes of the trade paperbacks there. So reasonably priced. In fact, actually, Amazon has volume one on sale right now for $4.99 for half price. So if you haven't read The Walking Dead, get on in it.
Nice.
So, there you go. Sweet. Plug's over. Sorry.
That's okay. I'm at Eileen TV on Twitter. And you could also just do
gplus.to/EileenTV.
Thank you.
To get her to Google Plus.
I don't remember the URL.
I'm her period.
Ever.
You never will.
Yeah.
I'm Raygun01 on Twitter or about.me/JasonHowell. And that's it for this week. You can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail if you prefer, AAA@twit.tv. Hit the show up on Twitter. That's @AndroidShow. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can normally catch us live every Monday from 5 till 7-ish p.m. Yeah. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. A lot of big news, and I think we're all kind of hungover at this
point. Brain is packed with information.
Done.
We'll see you guys next week. Take care.